Thank you, Sister Lonette. Good morning, church. Still morning? Yes, good morning, church. Let me join Elder Brown in welcoming those who are visiting with us today. I am always happy when I see young people in the house of God. Amen. It tells me that there is a future for us. And we are happy that you have accepted the invitation of your friend to be with us today. Amen. Let this not be the last time. I must also join in welcoming back Sister Walwing and Sister Chevron. We are happy to have you. Your spot is always there when you are not here. And to the others of us who may be visiting or who are normally here, well, you know what I always say. There is no place like home. The Holy Spirit, if I was not convinced that he is moving and synchronizing things, I am even more convinced today. When Brother Jermaine got up to announce the prayer, he announced that he will sing the first verse of 532. And you notice I whispered to him. Because in preparing for the message of the day, the Holy Spirit moved upon me to ask Sister Lonette to sing that song. That song has a lot of meaning to me. Brother Jermaine whispered it was his favorite song. And it's one of mine also. Well, do anybody know my favorite song? My favorite hymn? Huh? Anybody know my favorite hymn? What? My favorite hymn? No, that is one too. But my favorite hymn is 440. How cheering is the Christian's hope? Close behind that could very well be 532. When you go home, read the words to that hymn carefully. Just read it carefully. And I know it will become one of your favorite hymns. In our scripture reading today, we look at two passages. In my estimation, they are parallel passages. One, Psalm 1, and the other one, Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 5 to 8. Elder Brown, I found it. Okay? Found it. He knows what I'm speaking about. As we listen to God's words today, I'll be exhorting to us from the book of Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, chapter 26. 2 Chronicles, chapter 26. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to this divine service, this time of your message, I ask that, dear Lord, your Holy Spirit will clear the clutter from our minds, the clutter of stones, weeds, and thorns. Fertilize the soil of our mind so that it will receive the seeds of your words, that they may grow and bear much fruit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 2 Chronicles chapter 26 tells of the reign of one of the kings of Israel. Tells of the reign of a king by the name of Uzziah, otherwise known as Azariah. His father had just died. And at age 16, he was placed on the throne. Would all the 16-year-olds in the house please stand? All the 16-year-olds in the house, could you please stand? You notice who are standing? Our visitors. I think we have other 16-year-olds here. But our visitors, you see, you two, you are at the same age that this guy became king. So you could be the premier of Nevis. Sid, thank you very much. He started reigning at the age of 16. He reigned for 52 years, the longest reigning king. 52 years. Do we have any 68-year-olds inside here? Any 68-year-olds inside here? Could you please stand? I know old people don't like to tell us how old they are, you know. Good. Two ladies again. Very good. So, would the two younger ladies please stand again? Let me see something. These 16-year-olds, could you stand? Sister Clark, could you stand? And Sister, is Huggins behind you? Stand. Benjamin, look around. If you were the king, you would live as long as these people. You'll be reigning as long as how old she is. Right? Say, thank you very much. That is how long Uzziah reigned. Now, Uzziah, the Bible says, was how old when he started to reign?
16.
Do you think a boy who is 16 years old can visualize how to run the country? Well, my answer to you is no. Let us take our Bibles. Let us take our Bibles, because you see, we like to say what we think. Let's take our Bibles. We're going to be reading from the Bible, you see? Because sometimes when we think we know, we don't know. Verse 3. 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Jecoliah of Jerusalem. Verse 4. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. Verse 5. What does it say? Stop. What does he say? And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Do you think Uzziah knew how to run Israel? No. So this 16-year-old guy, thrust into the position of leadership, doesn't know, well, what will I do? Well, I could do some of the things that my father did. But his father didn't do all the things that he should have done. And so what the Bible says he did? He sought God. Young people, children, pathfinders, my friends, at 16 years old, 12 years old, 4 years old, you have to seek the Lord. The wise man admonishes us. Remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth. You see, at that impressionable age, the devil, the world, your friends are all trying to get you to do what they want you to do. Did you hear me? Jeriela, at your age, your friends, the world, I am not talking to Jeriela alone, Kelsia, at your age, your friends, the world, Abiki, at your age, your friends, the world, and Satan are trying to get you to do what they want you to do. And that is why Solomon reminds us to remember God. Know that you are young. You want a leader? You want somebody to follow? Choose God. When you choose to follow God, you cannot go wrong. No matter what your friends may say, no matter what the world may say, I hasten to say, no matter what your parents may say, when you choose to follow God, you cannot and will not go wrong. And so Uzziah sought God. And the Bible said that because he sought God, God made him prosper. Huh? You know, there's some persons who want to fool you and want to tell you that when you choose to follow God, life becomes boring. They lie. There are some persons who want to fool you and tell you that when you follow God, you can't have fun. They lie. Choose God first. Choose God first. I'm talking to the young people. I'm talking to the pathfinders. I'm talking to the adventurers and the eager beavers. I'm talking to the AYs. Choose God first. And when you do, you will prosper. Prosper according to God's terms, not necessarily according to the world's terms. But you will prosper. What are some of the things that God did for Uzziah? Here was this young king, Israel, in a time of trouble, surrounded by warring nations. The Bible said what? Verse 6, he went forth, he warred against the Philistines and break down the walls of Gath and the hills of, and the wall of Jabneh, and the wall of Ashdod, and built cities about Ashdod and among the Philistines. God helped him against the Philistines, against the Arabians, that dwelt in Gerbal and the Mehunims, these words. Eh? And he says, even the Ammonites, you know, the Ammonites were a great nation, you know. Even the Ammonites, do what? Gave gifts to Uzziah. And his name entered in of Egypt, for he strengthened himself exceedingly. God made him a powerful man among the nations that were around. Israel was now a nation spoken about because Uzziah sought God. God fought his battles for him. Hello? Uzziah sought God and God fought his battles for him. When we seek God, God will also fight our battles for us. The battles that Satan brings against us, temptations, the temptations of wanting to use drugs, God will help us to fight that battle. The battle about stealing and taking up other people's things, God will help us to fight that battle. The battle of indecent language, foul conversation, God will help us to fight that battle. The battle of promiscuity, sex and homosexuality, God will help us to fight those battles. Do you believe so? Yes. Because sometimes we act as if God can't fight the battle for us, you know, and we throw up our hands in the air. But God will help us once we seek him. Amen? Not only did God help him to fight his battles, God helped Uzziah to become one of the greatest organizers. You know what he did? He built towers in every corner of Israel. Even in the desert, he built towers so that they could see when the enemies were coming. Huh? And he invented some weapons that were used to ward off his enemies. When you trust God, when you seek him, he will protect you. The Bible says that the devil, even Satan, goes about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Do you know that the devil wants your soul? Huh? You think the devil playing games? He playing for keeps. And so when your friends who are influenced by the devil asks you, hey, come take a little bit of this spliff, it's going to help you to pass your exams. It's going to make you feel good. You got to remember that that is the devil seeking to destroy you. When your friends, be it boy or girl, tells you, come, let us go behind this building and have some sex, it's going to make you feel good. If you love me, you got to do it. Just tell him or her, that's the devil. Get thee behind me, thank you. The devil wants to destroy you. When your friends say, you could make some more money today for lunch, let us go behind the school and gamble. Let us surely dice, or what they call it, throw nearest to the wall. Or play some cards. Yeah, I know them. Tell them. Tell them. You are the devil trying to destroy me. Because when you give in to these temptations, you are allowing your friends who are Satan's agents to destroy you. And then you will become a destroyer of souls yourself. Remember now your Creator. I'm talking to you, young people. Yes. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. We live in a world where our children, our young people are bombarded by television, by music, by internet, you name it, they have access to it. It is the devil trying to destroy their souls. And so Uzziah became powerful, because he trusted in God. He sought God. Not only did God do that, you know, God taught him how to dig wells, to feed his herds. Even in the desert, he dug wells and got water. When you seek God, God provides for you. Amen. Huh? Yes. When you seek God, God provides for you. I think sometimes we forget that God is a providing God. He has seen, he has said to his servant, I was young and now I am old, and I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. My father counts his riches, counts his cattle, not by herds. He counts them by thousands upon thousands of hills. Huh? He says, the birds, they just fly around. I provide for them. How much more you, whom I know even before you were in your mother's womb? How much more you, who I know how many strands of hair upon your head? that I will protect you. I will provide for you. You don't believe he will? Yes. It's interesting that sometimes some of us think that we are down to the last dollar. And we start to worry. I wonder what they're going to do tomorrow. What are you worrying for? My father tells me that he knows way down the road that you are on your last dollar today. And that tomorrow morning, when you think you're going to eat in your last meal, somebody knock on the door. Brother Liban, I had some bananas over there. I'll bring a hand for you. Amen. You think, is he come? Is the Lord send him? Amen. He said, I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his feet see his seed begging bread. But look, you got to seek him. You got to trust him. That is what he says, eh? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And what? Not some, you know. Not nearly all. All things shall be added unto you. And so Uzziah became popular. He became powerful. He was well fed and taken care of. He was, as it were, at the peak of his kingship. Everybody all around spoke about him because of the wonderful things he was doing. We have to be careful when we get to where we think we become so popular that everybody is speaking about us. Because there is a but in Uzziah's reign. You know what that but is? The Bible says, let's find it. Let's read verse 16. And I'm not talking about this but. Yes, that is the but. Let's read verse 16. It says what? But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. But when he was what? High and lifted up. Famous, popular. Getting all the praises. His heart was lifted up. He became full of pride, full of self. And he did something that he knew he should not have done. You see, when God told Moses to build a sanctuary on earth that he may meet his people, he gave some specific instructions. One of those instructions were that the sons of Levi were supposed to be the priests. They were supposed to be the priests. They are the ones who would minister in the sanctuary. Hello? Ministering in the sanctuary, a part of that was to minister at the altar of incense. That was in the, any pathfinders here? Master guides. That was in the holy place. That altar right before the curtain that separated the holy place from the most holy place. The altar at which the sins, as it were placed on. And the priests ministered there. Whom? The priest. Who was Uzziah? The king. You see, when God say, Tom is supposed to do this, Jack don't do it. And sometimes we forget that. God say the priest, and Uzziah think now that he is the priest, takes up the censer, and is going into the sanctuary to minister at the altar of incense. That was a wrong thing for him to do. But you know, God is willing to forgive wrongs. Huh? God is willing to forgive wrongs. And I want to pause here to talk to us now, the older ones. Because you see, sometimes when we have served the Lord for 10, 16, 25, 50 years, we think we know everything that there is to know. Huh? And we are not willing to listen. And so even when we hear, you shouldn't do that, you know, we become stubborn. We say, who you think you are to be telling me what to do? Hello? Yes. And we think that in our own eyes, I am big, so I am right. Huh? I am in charge, so I am right. But that doesn't work with God, eh? God is no respecter of persons. And so, the priests, and when I was preparing this, I smiled. Do you know what is the other name for Uzziah? He was known as what? He was known as Azariah. Uzziah was also known as Azariah. As the young people would say, Uzziah, a.k.a. Azariah. Do you know the name of the chief priest then? Huh? Come talk to me. Azariah. I wondered if Azariah thought he was Azariah. You get me? Yes. Not because I was searching through my mind to find two persons in the church with the same name. And I couldn't find any. Oh, yes. Thank you. Not because Eugene Hendrickson is Eugene, and Eugene Brandy is Eugene, that, and Nicholas is Eugene, and, well, a lot of them know. There are three different persons, huh? Eugene Hendrickson, Eugene Brandy can't decide to go down by Eugene Nicholas and say, hey, Viola is my wife. Huh? Or vice versa. You understand where I'm coming from? Yes. When God says you, he means you, not me. So he chooses people for different things. So let's get back to Uzziah. As he approached the sanctuary, as he went into the sanctuary, Azariah, the chief priest, and the other priests withstood him. They went in and they said, hey, no. Not because you're the king. This is wrong. Let me pause here. You see, as leaders, church leaders, persons appointed by God, we are to withstand wrong whenever we see it. It is no good, one songwriter said, it is no good just to stand up for the right unless you're going to stand up against the wrong. You must stand up for the right, and when wrong is being done, you must stand up against the wrong. And so we must see that happening. If you harbor wrong, you are just as bad as the person who's doing the wrong. My grandmother told me, the harborer is worse than the thief. And so Azariah and his other priests withstood him. They said, no, king, you can't do that. That is the job of the priest. And the Bible said the man became angry. The man became vexed and stubborn. And he became so angry that you could see it on the veins in his face. He was determined to go forward and put the censer on the altar of incense. You know some of us Christians like that? Huh? We are doing things We know we are wrong. We are told we are wrong. And we're going, what did I say? Hell or high water, they want to go forward. You see, God uses his leaders to prevent catastrophe. Because if those priests had stood there and allowed him to go, Israel would have been doomed. He would have been doomed. The priests would have been doomed. Israel would have been doomed. God, you remember David? When David went and committed adultery with Bathsheba and then set up, what's his name? Uriah, to be killed, God sent a prophet to him, Nathan, gave him a parable. And when he finished, he said, David, are you? You are the man who committed this crime. What was David's reaction? He was humbled. He acknowledged his sin. Here is another king, you know. He is actually in the act. Nathan did not catch David in the act. But here is Uzziah actually in the act of committing the sin. The priest telling, boy, you're wrong. And he is determined to go forward. The Bible says, come with me. The Bible says in verse 18. Let's read it together. Verse 18. And they, talking about the priest, they do what? They withstood Uzziah the king and said unto him, It appeareth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests and the sons of Aaron. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed, neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord. Verse 19. Then Uzziah was, that word wrath is a strong word, you know. He not just in vex, you know. He wasn't just mad. He was super angry. He was wrath. Go ahead. Stop. He had a censer in his hand. Wrath and a censer in his hand to burn incense. Look, God don't make joke, eh? I think sometimes we think some believe so. God doesn't make joke. I am happy he's a merciful God. I am happy he is a loving God. Because the Bible says that even as he stood there vexed, angry, wrath, ready to go forward, that he became a leper. The Bible says the leprous signs broke out on his forehead right there in the sanctuary. And when it happened, I could see those priests rushing to push him out. Because, you know, in those days when you are a leper, you are unclean, scorned. You should be walking around with something saying, unclean, unclean. And they stepped forward to push him out. And when he realized what happened, he himself made haste to get out. Because he realized he was doomed. It was now the end. And the Bible said he stayed a leper for the rest of his days. He was king. God said, the priest shall minister, not you. That was a law. It was the law of the land. He was king. But he thought he was above the law. No man is above the law. Be it king, president, governor, premier, whoever. No man is above the law. He You see, God is no respecter of persons. And when we see wrong, we must say he's wrong. Because as God's people, if you uphold injustice, if you uphold wrongdoing, if you uphold evil, you are just as bad as the others. God expects us to stand up. Stand up for the right. Also stand up against the wrong. You may not be a leader. You may not be a king. You may not be a president. But if you and I chose to disobey the law, we too shall be doomed. Because God is no respecter of persons. You see, when we would have lived this life, and when we would have said to God, I want to be your child, we must live like it. We must live like it. It makes no sense for us to start off the race with all our strength and energy, and when we see this finishing line, we fall along, drop down, and can't make it. It is not only embarrassing, but you have lost out on what you say you're going for. And I don't know about you, but I truly believe that Jesus is coming soon. I don't know about you, but I believe that Jesus is wrapping up his work in the most holy place. I don't know about you, but I believe that Jesus is about to say, let him that is holy be holy still, and let him that is unholy be unholy. I don't know about you, but I believe soon, pretty soon, sooner than most of us expect, we shall hear the trumpet sound in the sky. I don't know about you, but I want to be caught up to meet my Savior in the air. I still don't know about you, but I am willing, I am pledging, I am really asking God to help me, not only to be trusting him now, not only to be trusting him when things are going good, but to always be seeking him. You know, when it comes down to the end, it is not what happened yesterday, day before yesterday, last week or last year. It is how I stand with God now. Yes. And that is why we are warned every day to kill self. Hello, not to commit suicide. We are warned every day to destroy this ego. Ease God out. That's what it stands for, you know. This ego that we have is easing God out of our life. And so we need to destroy it. We need to see ourselves not as who we are, but whose we are. What is God's potential for us? Not what Tom, Dick, and Harry want to see us be, but what God wants us to be. And if every day we say, God, today, show me what you want me to be, then I'm sure God will show us. But then we've got to be willing to follow it. You see, when we become too popular, high and mighty, we get in trouble. You know that? The story is told about three friends, two ducklings and a frog. They lived in a pond together. They shared the resources of that pond together. They never argued. They had a wonderful life. But as drought set in one year, the water in the pond began to get lower and lower and lower until they realized, we have got to find another pond or we are going to be in trouble. Now, this wasn't a problem for the ducks because they could fly and go to another pond. But it was a problem for my little friend, the frog, because he couldn't fly. He was stuck there. And so he came up with a plan and discussed it with the ducks. You see, if you, my friends, can get a piece of stick and hold it in your bills, and I will clap it in my mouth, you can fly and we can all go to the other pond. Wonderful idea together. And so the wonderful idea that it was became practical. So they set up themselves. Mr. Frog clapped down hard on the stick. The ducklings took up the stick and flew away. And as they were flying, they can't go too high because the weight of the frog would keep them at a little lower altitude. They were passing by a farm, and the farmer looks up. He sees these two ducks flying and a frog in between. And the farmer said out loud, "Wow, that is a wonderful idea. I wonder who came up with it." The frog said, "I did." Sometimes when we think we are high and mighty and we think that we have made a good suggestion or do a good thing, we want to tap ourselves and talk about it. Sometimes we need to keep our mouth shut. Jessica, I don't need to spell it out, Jessica. What I want us to understand is that God is willing and able to do everything that is needed for us to get to heaven. Hello? What he asks us to do is to trust him, to seek him, not to be distracted by what is happening all around us. Because let me tell you, there are a lot of things happening around us. Hello? Yes. If we want to become busy, we can become busy with the things that are happening around us. But God says, hey, stay focused. Focus on me. Focus on the things that I would have you do. Stay focused. Seek me. Trust me. Young people, children, stay focused. You may not truly understand everything now, but let me tell you, you're old enough to understand when somebody asks you to do something wrong. Tell them no. You're old enough to understand when somebody asks you to do something right, tell them yes. Older ones, I know you could understand. So I'm going to tell you, listen and do that which is right in the sight of God. Run away from those things that are not in accordance with God, and do not be guilty of leading our children in the wrong direction. So, what can we learn from Uzziah? One, seek the Lord, trust him, and he will guide us. He will do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Two, never think that you can do anything without God. Never get too big for your shoes and think that, hey, it is me. When that happens, God can not only turn you into a leper, he could make you eat grass like he made Nebuchadnezzar. Number three, if you find that you have done something wrong, and God send a messenger or messengers to correct you, take that correction humbly. Ask for forgiveness and move on. Too many of us are too headstrong and stubborn so that we will not accept the correction that God sent for us. And when the person comes to correct, we want to talk, tell the person what wrong he or she done. God is concerned about you. God sends a message to tell you, hey, you are wrong. Well, accept that you are wrong now. Ask for forgiveness and move on. And finally, do not allow EGO. What did I say? Ego. Do not allow EGO, that ego, to ease God out. Otherwise, you will be out of heaven. I think I've said what God has asked me to say. I hope that each of us have heard the message and have pledged to keep the message. Do God's will. That is all. Do God's will. Let us stand. Bow our heads. Heavenly Father, your word has come to us. Help us, dear Lord, to realize the need to always seek you, to always trust you. For we know that you have promised that whosoever trusts you, you will make them to prosper. You will fight their battles. You will provide for them. Help us not to be half-hearted in this trust, but to realize that even as young as we may be, we can put our trust in you. As old as we may be, we still can put our trust in you, because you are a God for eternity. We pray, dear Lord, that as we travel through life and we are tempted not to yield to the temptation, if we have done wrong, if we do yield, help us to realize that you are still willing and able to forgive us. Help us to be teachable, to be easily corrected, to follow the guidance that you have given us and will be given us. Because it is only as we do that we will be able to walk in your footsteps. Bless us, even as we continue from here, and help us truly to be your sons and your daughters who will stand up for anything that is right and also against anything that is wrong. These we ask in the name of your Son and our Savior. Amen.